Greetings, Space Orphans and Retrogrades. The Pope has told the World Economic Forum that globalization has a fundamentally moral dimension. Now, Pope Francis has long allied the Vatican with the World Economic Forum, long before you ever knew what the beer bug was, 2019, 2020, 2021. Before you ever knew what the Maxine was. Far longer, almost for the entire duration of his pontificate. He was hanging out with Jeffrey Sachs in 2014, who's one of the key players of the UN and related closely, who helped him to author Laudato Si, which is called by the UN one of the most important documents on the Sustainable Development Goals, the WEF and UN goals for the New World Order. Openly, this isn't some Nicolas Cage film positing a conspiracy theory. This is real. The Sustainable Development Goals are the goals of Klaus Schwab, who says you will own nothing by the year 2030 and you will be happy. In light of this, Francis's recent remarks on Marxism, communism, the eradication of property ideology, means more than it did before. You know, the WF's big goal is for you to be reset from a natural law perspective, a proprietary perspective. You have no property and you will be happy with it. You will do exactly what they say. You will live under one world government and you'll be happy. They don't really mean that part. But Francis is on board. This is not a theory. So today's show, we're going to talk about the long tortured history of the Pope Francis Vatican and the World Economic Forum. We're going to start out with what he said today. And I'm going to show you that he is unapologetically part of this new world order. Now, during COVID, We saw as much, because he said, pay attention to all the world lockdown provisions. And it's immoral, he said at one point, not to take the jab. So people thought, oh, wow, that's weird. If they hadn't been paying attention, which, let's be honest, most people haven't, they were concerned by that. That was just the tip of the iceberg. I'll show you that today. I want to, before we get started, let you guys know, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, that we're rounding the corner fast for a big 50,000 subscribers celebration. We're nearly there. The show that we conceived and will throw, the first show after we hit that 50,000th subscriber, is going to be amazing. We have a whole new paradigm planned as we move from 50,000 to 100,000 subscribers. And we're going to make it possible, beginning that show, maybe every Friday, maybe every other Friday, perhaps, for you to call in. So you could literally talk to me and ask questions on Rules for Retrogrades here. It's going to be amazing. We have other things planned. We'll have some call-in friends and guests for that 50K show. It's going to be really good. And I just want to say thank you all. To reach 50,000 subscribers with this show's program, liturgically trad, but, and you know, obviously, anti-Pope splainer, but, you know, flying according to the banner of truth and not any of the tribes in the world of the church, it makes it extra hard. We lock arms with smart people we see, but they're not always people that are, according to the designs of tribalism, unified, which is, that's the nature of the truth. It's a patchwork. And so we're really proud. I mean, to take on the demographic of women in the world, and to say, all of these anti-feminists out here are fake. A lot of the homeschoolers you see out here saying, look, pull your kids out of school. They're still using curriculum that's fake. You know, everything you're hearing out of both sides of the political spectrum, that's all fake. That's a little more popular. And to take some of the minor stances, even our stance against divorce has been more extreme than the trads. But I mean, particularly with that masculinism issue, feminism issue, and the fact that Roman Catholics have been so badly infiltrated by feminism, it just makes it really hard to grow. And so growth means something really salubrious. It means the people that are watching are with us, and we have through the roof proportions of subscribed viewers to most of the shows you've ever seen. Well, like, we have like three times more subscribers, like 55-60% of the people watching right now are subscribed. That means we're getting no help from the algos. It means a super, super loyal fan base. And that's amazing. So we're going to do that 50K show for that super loyal fan base because we do appreciate you. And there's something to celebrate there. Real, sustainable, since that's the word of the day, growth. We don't necessarily want, and I always have said this with everyone I've ever worked with. Look, I don't want to pick up cheap fans. I don't want to become a captive creator. Captive creators, like, where you're picking up as many people as you can, factions of different people who hold to different, even opposite things, and therefore you have to continue to say different, even opposite things. That's almost every other YouTuber, many of the Catholic YouTubers out there, they're captive creators. You know that's not what you get here. You know you're getting the real article. So 50,000 is a big deal, and that show is going to be fun for me, and it should be fun for the super loyal fan base yourself. We just got in the mail one of the things we need to do that show and other shows like it in the future. If you want to support the show, the main thing you can do is subscribe to the channel, like the video if you haven't. Most of you are, though. We just recently double-checked those numbers. Do so now. And if you want to help out on Locals and Subscribestar, this is how we keep the channel up and running. If you want to donate privately, lots of people ask about this or I wouldn't bring it up, then you do so on DonorBox. Go to timothyjgordon.com. So the specific remarks by Pope Francis that are disconcerting, if you're not paying attention, they're disconcerting, I'll say that. If you haven't been watching this entire pontificate, the lead remark is globalization has a fundamentally moral dimension, and Pope Francis generally approving of what the WEF does. I'll take you back and show you the storied history of that. But let me read from Catholic Vote. This article came up yesterday. In a letter addressed to Klaus Schwab, Dr. Evil, executive president of the World Economic Forum, taking place in Davos, Switzerland, kind of the center of Dr. Evil's enterprises, Pope Francis called on participants to work for a more ethical globalization, arguing that the process is inevitable. I don't want to do tons of commentary as I read, I just want to read, but remember the way that progressives and radicals always argue the point. They say, well, look, this new innovation is inevitable anyway. We might as well put our fingerprints on it and make it moral. Globalization isn't inevitable. It depends what you mean by it. But it's not really, that's like saying one world order is inevitable with a slight tint of camo. It's the new world order, one world order, one world government is inevitable. That's what he means here. It's couldn't be more suspicious. I'll continue. Every year, the WEF brings together the most powerful persons and institutions in the world, from politicians to billionaires, to discuss the future of the world that they're crafting, is the subtext. This year, the summit has seen an unusually small representation of the U.S. government, but still a significant presence of U.S. financial leaders. That's interesting. Small government representation from America, but unusually high, or maybe usually high portion of financial leaders. That's because this woke class of Fortune 500 people have been co-opted, and it's an election year. That explains for both parts of that. In the letter signed on January the 15th, but released on the 17th by the Vatican Press Office, no conspiracy theory out here, the Vatican Press Office released it themselves, Francis wrote that this year's annual meeting of the World Economic Forum takes place in a very troubling climate of international instability. Your forum, it was written, which aims to guide and strengthen political will and mutual cooperation, provides an important opportunity for multi-stakeholder engagement to explore innovative and effective ways to build a better world. Francis wrote, "It is my hope that your discussions will take into account the urgent need to advance social cohesion, fraternity, and reconciliation among groups, communities, and states in order to address the challenges before us." Then he goes on to make more, to render, if he can, more banal the nature of this evil alignment of the Vatican with this evil One World Order group. Don't expect sexy, evil, direct quotes from Francis. The sexy, evil headline grabber ought to be the fact that the Vatican has, without exaggeration by Catholic haters or anything like that, actually really historically aligned itself with a group, you know, pick a famous villain from any of the past couple of centuries. That's the sexy headline. Francis has consistently, undoubtedly, aligned himself with the WEF. That's the grabby part. Francis's job as the point man is to render all the more banal through language, to water down the sexy, evil, grabby nature of the story, the lead. You understand? I don't typically spell all this stuff out. I mean, you watch Rules for Retrogrades and you think, okay, here's the headlines, here's some commentary. Boy, I am sick of doing Pope shows. I really am. But I could have skipped this one. It's a mashup of two things I care about very much. Remember, Jim Caviezel, sweet Jim Caviezel, called this Pope the Rothschild Pope. And everyone's like, what's the deal with that? That's crazy. Well, he's the WEF Pope. It's the same thing. Francis's job, and he's decent at it, I don't think it's masterfully subtle or anything, is to have big headlines. Francis aligns himself with fill in the blank. Could be aliens. And then that's really grabby and interesting. And what he has to float out there for the people that run interference for him, run cover for him, is several quotes to make, hypothetically, Francis colludes with aliens into a boring usual thing. You know what I mean? Well, this is typical. Lots of popes have done this. This is a very Catholic thing. It's a very Catholic thing to do, to collude with aliens. So I don't, you're going to miss the point. I don't think Parish Reference and Retrogrades are here, but you will miss the point if you think that one of these articles, this is a Catholic Vote article up last night called Pope Tells WEF, Globalization Has a Fundamentally Moral Dimension. If you're looking for more than that, you're like, well, let's see what he says. All that stuff that goofball Michael Lofton calls nuance is literally just doublespeak, a way to make a big headline, Leader X colludes with the well-known, notorious, open enemy of Leader X into a kind of non-story. And it shouldn't work, and it only works on NPCs and IQs in the double digits, below three numbers. It can't work, and it shouldn't work on you guys, retrogrades. But don't forget that this is the game. Even if it doesn't work on you, don't forget. Don't plumb these articles for like nuggets of, you know, fascinating admissions by Francis. The admission is his close connection to the World Economic Forum. Let's see, is this novel? And it's not. Now, this is what you should think. Let's see if this is novel. Well, it's not. I'm looking at stories from 2000. Well, okay. So if you go back to 2019, you think, wow, this is like the beginning of Beer Bug. Not the beginning of Francis's collusion with this. In 2019, I remember with Taylor Marshall, my streaming partner at the time, we covered the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals being explicitly endorsed by Francis. And I remember very well because we did that show on my birthday in March of 2019. I remember it was like my birthday show. Normally, I don't do anything on my birthday. We just have fun with the kids. But I'm like, this is an important show. And it was groundbreaking. So it was middle March 2019. And it was like, holy cow, the frog hadn't been boiled in the water so long yet then that was really scandalizing. And people were like, the Pope's planners back then, 4 years ago, were 5 years ago in March, were like, no, this story is not real. That's how they used to Pope's plan. Just, no, this story is not real. You're getting something wrong. I'm sure that, and you're like, no, it's absolutely real. Here's the Vatican webpage. I'm looking at it right now. And here's the World Economic Forum webpage. And here's the United Nations webpage. And they're all saying that Pope Francis is like the key player. He's written one of the two most important documents on sustainable development goals. That document is called Laudato Si. This Pope is controlled by the WEF. Now, what's the nature of the control? I don't claim to know. And I haven't told you. You know? It gets kooky when people report or comment beyond their ken, what they know. I don't know for sure. What's the nature of it? Is it direct or indirect? I'm not sure. But this Pope is controlled and he is in deep with them. Because that 2019 story in March, I'm looking at it right now, on sustainable development goals, as COVID was in the offing, had Francis everywhere putting his fingerprints on it. Here's a Holy See document. Address of His Holiness Pope Francis to participants at the Conference on Religions and the Sustainable Development Goals, listening to the cry of the earth and of the poor. He issued this document on March 8th, 2019. See how that's consistent? Me and Taylor must have been reporting on it when it got published later that week. This happens a lot. Nothing for the first 4 days or so. So I remember my birthday is March the 14th. And the story really broke on the afternoon of March the 13th. My part in that show is I researched all the SDGs, how wicked they were. Pure one world order. Dressed up to look nice and polite in Ned Flanders, which is the weird thing in 21st century leftism and late 20th century leftism. They talk like Ned Flanders, goody two-shoes, but it's clear, open Luciferianism. So this timeline syncs up. Now I'm looking at this with that tan background on the Vatican website. Address of His Holiness Pope Francis to participants at the Conference on Religions and the SDGs. Listening to the cry of the earth and of the poor. This is completely inexcusable. I mean, people trip out, soil themselves, defile themselves. All this apocryphal connection between Pius the 11th and the Reich. And this is way worse. Even if those apocryphal tales had a nugget of truth to them, this is way more antithetical to Roman Catholicism. To collude with not just dictators, but outright Luciferianism. Do you understand? I mean, it's hard to do anything anymore by way of reporting or commenting on things coming out of the Vatican because it's so extreme. It was easier in 2019. You're like, whoa, this extreme story broke. And people are like, no way. Yeah. Holy cow. Then they look into it. They source it for themselves. They cross-check the claims you just made about what this Pope and this Vatican are doing. And they're like, okay, we're all ears. But now everyone's, including myself to some extent, calloused to it. And it's just like, okay, yeah, the Holy See, this is what they do now. The Francis Vatican works with people that formerly were readily identifiable as opponents of the faith. Duh. Did you really not know that by January of 2024? Along similar lines, the Francis Pontificate, the Francis Vatican, works against faithful Catholics. Ecumenically, generally known as traditional Catholics. Not in the sense of rad trads or this denomination or that denomination, but just people that really believe in the bimillennial one true faith. But not news. I would submit this to you, gentle listener, oh, parish orphan, in your car or your home as you listen to this or at your workplace. Once this pontiff has gotten us all into that position, the position where we expect this bifurcated syllogism. A, he works with the enemies of the faith regularly in important ways. And he works against the truest practitioners and lovers of the faith regularly. And we accept that bifurcated proposition as the way of doing business, modus operandi, of this pontificate, then there's not a lot left to say. Because that's where we are, right? Alan Dulles of the CIA said the purpose of the CIA is to confuse Americans to the extent where they cannot tell the difference between real and unreal, true and untrue, fact and fiction. Okay, well, we're there in the world. I can't automatically tell real news from fake news. It requires significant vetting. Have you noticed? Real aliens, fake aliens, real giants, fake giants, Bigfoot, no Bigfoot, pandemics, no pandemics. Well, that's the way the deep state operates. The way the deep church that Archbishop Vigano has talked about now for about 5 years is self-saying. If they can get it where you don't know the difference between truth and untruth, real and fake, by dissembling and discombobulating your moral bearings in a different way, the consequence will be the same. The way the Vatican does it is just by gaslighting you. All right? The CIA did it over the last 60 years. The CIA created in 47, 48. Really over the last 70 years. Just the goal is like actual lying, infiltrating into all media and getting you to be like gaslit by you not understanding fact from fiction. What we have analogically in the Vatican is a pope who, over the last 11 years, has told you, like, no, yeah, I admitted the New World Order is good. This thing we've read about in Revelation, it's good. The UN, the WEF, Klaus Schwab, all of these enemies of the faith, unapologetic enemies of the faith, they're really good. Without much hemming and hawing, he'll just say, we just have to give it a moral face, which is what he said yesterday in that story. He said it January 15th, but it broke yesterday, January the 17th. Look, globalism is inevitable. That's the trick. It needs to be good. Well, he's been saying that since, look, the Great Reset is inevitable. It just needs to be made good. The Sustainable Development Goals are inevitable. They just need to be, you know, given a moral dimension. That's why we're involved in this. This is the equivalent of being infiltrated by CIA ops at every level of media, except it's in the church. And now it's just like, I report the story and you're like, well, yeah, we know this is new. You never would have seen this kind of stuff from Benedict. Globalism's good. I thought this is man of sin, man of perdition, antichrist stuff. Yeah, well, it is. No one ever says it's not. It's just like, well, we have to look on that as good now. So there's not a lot I can... It feels weird to sit here in front of a microphone and to, no pun intended, pontificate about it, because it used to be that the story tells itself, res ipsa loquitur. You kind of... I mean, this is what Taylor and I did in 2019. Like, report these stories, and they were new then, and we would give some, like, little bit of smart guy commentary, but it was mainly in the enunciation of the proposition. Vatican working with globalists. Pope Francis says New World Order good. Pope Francis says Great Reset good. Pope Francis says, you know, the guy, Klaus Schwab, the guy who said you'll have no private property and you'll be happy, is good and you should listen to him. But now that we've heard it for even 5 years, you see the way that psyops work, and that black ops work, and that gaslighting works, and that a deep church, deep state work. Even myself, I'm like, well, I reported it again, and I'm showing you the history, and no one seems to care. It's a weird position to be in. It's a sincerely odd position to be in. So I'm looking at another article. This says, Pope calls on member states to fulfill the promise of the 2030 agenda. Agenda 2030, and this is from, is it before 2019? I'm just going to go show you what it looks like to go back in time. His Holiness Pope Francis requested heads of government and the heads of states to follow up the agreement on the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda with concrete action, declaring the agenda a sign of hope for mankind. This is the closest thing, this agenda, 2030, to the kind of document of perdition. And I don't even, when I talk about it normally, and I forget that the Pope has spoken this specifically, affirmatively of it, I honestly and sincerely am just like, everyone out there knows, Agenda 2030, this is the plan that the Luciferians have for ending the world. Then I circle back every 10th time I talk about it. I'm like, oh, I forgot. Francis is like one of their point men. I don't think of that every day. Francis strongly supported the protection of environment, ending poverty for all. Jesus said we'll have the poor with us forever. The poor will always be with us. And requested that certain material and spiritual minimums be granted to everyone. And by this, he means religious freedom. Remember, because Pope Francis believes that God wills false religions. Remember that? He signed that document, God wills diversity of religion, meaning that false religions coexist. That's apostasy. So what year is this from? Actually, That's a New York article. It says on September the 25th. This is not from this year. Pope Francis, His Holiness, addressed the largest number of heads of governments and heads of states ever at the UN General Assembly. This is when he was young. I think this might be 2015. Urging global action to protect the environment and end the suffering of vast ranks of the excluded, saying that human beings take precedence over partisan interests. Now, I'm not saying I know he's the Antichrist, but this is the rhetoric that the Antichrist will use. No one really knows who it is until you know. I haven't said it. Other people out there flirted with it. There's a reason why. It's because fraternity is this Luciferian cry. Francis has been quick to use it. And things like this side of the eschaton, before the end of the world, ending what they see as sin, what Marxists, globalists see as sin. And I know Marxists aren't always globalists. This side of the eschaton, that is antichristic. Here's another one. This is Vatican News from 2019. He affirms the Sustainable Development Goals. Sorry, I already read you that one. I'm going back further in time. Here's the United Nations program. In 2015, two of the landmark documents of our time were institutionalized. The UN Sustainable Development Goals, which would grow into Agenda 2030. In 2019. And Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si, they represent two different lenses toward the common goals of ending poverty and leaving no one behind. Antichristic. Despite these similarities, the SDGs and the Laudato Si, which was heavily collaborated between Francis and Jeffrey Sachs, atheist abortionist Jeffrey Sachs, Laudato Si, that summer of 2014, fall of 2014. They diverge in key aspects of their messages and approaches to achieving their common goals. This is where it becomes banal. Evil is banal. Have you ever heard this term, the banality of evil? They hit you in the stomach with so-and-so is working with Lucifer. So-and-so is best friends with Stalin and Hitler. And then they're like, but here's why, don't overreact, that's babyish. No, here's why they're doing it. They're actually making it better. And that's the moment that we're all in. We're confronted with that moment almost every day when you wake up and you read the news on LifeSite or wherever you get your Catholic news from, Catholic Vote. They're like, yeah, now it's cool. The new 21st century way of engaging Lucifer isn't by repudiating him and affirming Christ, is by working with him. And man, we're gonna do stuff Christ would be so proud of. That's literally what it feels like to get up and read the news about Francis every day, doesn't it? Comment in the comment box. I don't call on this very often. I don't invoke too many comments specifically. But isn't that what it feels like? Please leave a one-line remark whether you know what I'm talking about or not. Every day you wake up when you read Catholic news, instead of being like, do you reject Satan and all his works? Something we're supposed to renew as a baptismal vow. Instead of that, it's, hey, embrace this satanic Luciferian outfit. Embrace the works of this Luciferian outfit, which are nakedly don't square with Christianity. We'll end poverty. Jesus says we'll have the poor with us at all times. Jesus said poverty is good. We don't want destitution, but we want some poverty. And, you know, it's openly an anti-life agenda. Colonistic, trying to get Africa to use abortion and contraception. One of the big goals, trying to get Africa to use abortion and contraception. And, of course, the third big agenda of the SDGs is to bring in the LMNOP goals that the Africans, you know, everyone knows, reject. So now you wake up and instead of, do you reject Satan and all his works? You hear that from like angry trad priests online, or I guess me, or other trad lay people online. No, but you don't hear that out of the Vatican. What you hear is stuff like, we have to give inevitable globalism a moral gloss. We have to give Luciferianism, a moral gloss if they're telling the truth. These sustainable development goals are Catholic. What? On that show with Taylor Marshall, I went through them one by one. They're all contraceptive, abortifacient in their essence. Some more specifically than others. We will have nothing. They're going to take away all our property. We'll have no property and we'll be happy. That is a direct quote from this man, Klaus Schwab, who Francis is praising. BlackRock and Bill Gates and all of these different companies are going around scooping up farmland. They say it's in conjunction with the SDGs and the agenda of 2030. They're going to build smart cities. We'll all live there. We'll own nothing. We'll just use these sustainable resources in these smart cities, eating bugs, and we'll be happy with it, even though it doesn't seem like we will be now. As the world faces immediate and long-term threats at the global and local scales, the urgency for a unified approach, see how that's exactly what I just said, for attaining sustainability and eco-solidarity has never been stronger. I was talking to my friend the other day, and he's like, they're going to do this using that term solidarity. And in the all of these documents I looked at, it's up and down the page. Pope Francis, in his address to the General Assembly on September 25th, 2015, described the adoption of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development at the summit as an important sign of hope. Let me repeat that sentence. Steph, listen to this. Pope Francis, in his address to the General Assembly on September 25th, 2015, described the adoption of the 2013 Agenda for Sustainable Development at the summit as an important sign of hope. That's chilling. A hope that will be realized if the agenda is truly, fairly, and effectively implemented. However, Pope Francis warned the international community about the danger of falling into a declarationist nominalism. See what he does? He affirms Luciferianism, and then he uses some term he got from Tucho Fernandez or Cardinal Walter Casper that no one knows. This is not how heads of state or businessmen operate. They don't know all these fancy terms. Yes, the SDGs are good, even though they're Luciferian. They're good because they're Luciferian. But don't fall into the danger of declarationist nominalism. What the hell is that? I could figure it out because I know a lot about nominalism. It's Francis's bread and butter. But they're not going to. It's like, yeah, go ahead and play with poison, kids. But don't fall into a declarationist nominalism. Okay, my kids are safe. But here, go take this set of poison and go play with it. Just don't fall into a declarationist nominalism. So this was an address that Pope Francis gave on the first anniversary of the adoption of the SDGs. Those are those specific, it's like the constitution for the New World Order, the Sustainable Development Goals. So that means that if this is in September of 15, well, this is from 2016. So I guess it began in 2015. Annexed to the letter dated September 25th, 2016 from the permanent observer of the Holy See to the UN addressed to the Secretary General. Transforming our world, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development Outcome document of the United Nations Summit for the adoption of the post-2015 development agenda held from 25th to 27th September 2015 in New York. With this note from the Holy See. With proper and laudable aspirations, the 2030 Agenda, a non-binding international plan of action, was adopted by the General Assembly in the form of a resolution. It is divided into five parts. Now remember this, the preamble, the declaration, the SDGs, the means of implementation in the global partnership, the follow-up and review. So, for the large part of this pontificate, this seems to be, Francis certainly doesn't care about Catholic stuff, right? He's trying to end what is appreciably Catholic about Roman Catholicism. From The culture, most importantly, Catholic culture needs to be rooted out and killed. Anything that sets us apart or affirms us as the one true faith needs to be nullified. Two, the liturgy. Liturgy of the church. The true liturgy, bimillennial liturgy, is being stamped out. To the sociopolitical mandate of the church. You know, we need to spread the gospel. We need to spread the gospel using not just the culture, but also government. And this is why it's been so important for Francis that he says things like, God wants fake religions. God wills the diversity of religions. Those are the three parts, and that's what's reflected in his close connection with Jeffrey Sachs, Ban Ki-moon, Emma Bonino, these globalists, abortion, population control types, all of whom have wildly been for Agenda 2030. That's what all of the WEF meeting and it, what's it called, COP25. He was there last year. He couldn't make it this year. He had to miss the COP25 or whatever it's called meeting because he was so sick. But he's still affirming him. He can still write stuff from the Vatican saying, look, we are closely connected. I don't see how this isn't apostasy on his part. My sincerest belief, my sincerest reaction is it feels like apostasy outright. And it feels obviously so. I'm saying it like I'm out there on a ledge because I don't know what other... What this feels like in closing, every day waking up and hearing new, bad, accelerated news from Francis is like, I'm not naive, right? I was never naive, and it's never been something I've never been credulous, particularly not on this Pope. Maybe a little bit of a, it's been called a hermeneutic of suspicion. Yeah, that's fair. But a hermeneutic of time after time confirmed suspicion, like 200 out of 200, where Francis will say something, people will try to defend it by making up fake news that it was a fake story. The fake news is that it was a fake story. It turns out to be totally true, in many cases worse than what was originally reported. And you're like, wow, I guess it's just apostasy. And then, and you say that, and it's like, I don't know what the ramifications of me saying that are. But I do know that it becomes voluntarism for any form of Christianity, Roman Catholicism included, it becomes voluntarism to say that God wills falsehood. God wills lies. God wills the promulgation of wrong religion, the promulgation of erroneous propositional logic, and the promulgation of bad moral theology. You can't say that, even if you're the one true faith which has a pope, a papal head. You can't say that stuff. You can't affirm that stuff. That is voluntarism. That is the equivalent of Islam saying, well, God can even violate the principle of non-contradiction. God, if he wanted, could even make rape plausible. We, in the last millennium of moral theology, Christians, particularly Roman Catholics, but also Eastern Orthodox, have rejected that aspect of nominalism and voluntarism. God can't reverse the principle of non-contradiction. He couldn't make up moral down. And that's just what it feels like every day when you wake up and there are still people defending the Pope. And now they're not even just lying about the stories. They're saying, no, that's true. But yeah, the Pope can do whatever he wants. Yeah. If it's not even Islamic voluntarism where you say, well, if God wills it, then God could make rape good. It's a new Catholic type of voluntarism. It's not even if Jesus, that Jesus could theoretically make, you know, moral compass reverse. It's the Pope could do it. It's worse. This new form of Catholic voluntarism, where God's will determines his intellect, analogically, and therefore the principle of non-contradiction, logic, reason, doesn't obtain. Jesus can't be the Logos man, by the way, under this, under voluntarism. Catholic voluntarism is worse than Islamic voluntarism, because at least Islamic voluntarism says God can reverse the moral poles of the universe. This papalatry stuff is the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not Jesus could do it, or the Holy Spirit, or God the Father. It's the Pope. That it's not even like Peter did it. The 266th Pope. Toward what we know has to be close to the end of the world. The world's not going to go on 2,000 more years. I don't know when it'll end. But not it's not in two millennia. So after we have the precedent of 265 popes that have all, some are good guys, some are bad guys, a lot of them are outright saints, but they've all taught in the same direction. What you have are papal voluntarists saying, yeah, even though God in the three persons is not willing to ever contradict himself, God's not a voluntarist. That's what the Muslims believe. These papal voluntarists are like, yeah, but the Pope can reverse what God plainly revealed. In so many places. The Abu Dhabi Agreement being one of them, and the one that's probably the most important to these sustainable development goals and World Economic Forum globalist Luciferianism. The one world religion, God world wills one sort of mashup world religion. And before you can have that, you have to say God's fine with diversity among and between religions. And Pope Francis not only said that, he signed that in a document. Now, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, if you remember, over the last 4 years, was like, did you mean in God's permissive will? Not his wise will? And Francis was like, sure. And since then, he repeated it, the unqualified statement. So it sounds like he meant in the signed agreement that God wills the diversity of religions in his wise will, meaning it's actually what he wants with providence, not just he allows false religions which carry people to hell because of free will. That's boring. We already know that. So Catholic voluntarism, this new thing where they say the Pope can reverse God's plain revelation for what he wants for us, his followers, to do. It's actually worse than Islamic voluntarism, which claims that God can mercurially change his mind on the most important moral issues. And that's weird and irrational and stems from, really, Islam not following Averroes on the question of Aristotelianism. This was a debate that got hashed out at the University of Paris. Will Islam follow Averroes or will it follow the Mujahid Khalidin and Avicenna on the simple question, will Islam be open to Aristotle, the sort of secular prophet for all times? And Islam said, no, that means there is no logos. Contradiction isn't a problem. Nominalism, voluntarism naturally follow upon it. Christianity went the other way at the University of Paris and followed the Dominicans. Albert the Great dragged Thomas Aquinas to the University of Paris in order to affirm Aristotle and to bring Aristotle into the, to show that Aristotle's teachings from 1500 years past at that point, the teachings on logos, natural law, principle of non-contradiction, bind Christians and even God. It's the one thing that binds God, think of it that way, is the principle of non-contradiction. You can't ever abide a contradiction in a propositional claim, even one from God. I know I'm telling you stuff, a mixture of things you know and probably don't know, but the big point is this. If you believe what you're being asked to believe by people who say that, that the Pope can at will contradict the teaching of 265 other popes who are responsible for teaching with one voice. You know, Luciferianism is wrong, one worldism, globalism, the New World Order is wrong, which we've always, as Christians, been on the watch for from the book of Revelation. This is the man of sin. This is the man of perdition. This is the Antichrist. We'll preach this one world government. Well, then, we're in a new paradigm. And that's where we are every day. I get up. I'm going to do this show. Try not to be a hammer banging on the wall. Can't take a new line because it just gets worse. Francis quadruples down every week, every month. He's quadrupling down more and more. So I can't back off. Try to take a new approach to minds and hearts, though, every once in a while. And I'm just saying now, think about it from this perspective. Logos. Jesus was the God-man. Logos made flesh. That means several things at once. Several good, disparate translations. It means reason. It means word. It also means logic. This is why God never will contradict himself. This is why the natural law and the supernatural law work together. So basic propositions like syllogisms. Socrates is a man, one premise. All men are mortals, another premise. Therefore, Socrates must be a mortal. The conclusion. God reasons like that. Yes, that makes it boring, but God cannot contradict, you know, modal reasoning, syllogistic reasoning. God doesn't, because he is that logic in some analogic scriptural mode of approach. So, you have to reject the Antichrist, would be my closing thought. You have to reject Satan and all his works. Globalism is one of the marks of Antichrist. To have people saying globalism is inevitable, let's just make it good. Well, you can't. That's like saying murder. You're going to do murder, so just make it good. No, we have to reject murder. You have to reject Satan and all his works. This teaching comes to us from Christ, the Logos, and from all of the popes who ever taught consonant with him. I don't know what it means that number 266 is saying globalism's good. The New World Order is good. We know he's not going to make it Christian. Final thought. We know Francis isn't going to make it Christian because he's already said God wills the diversity of religion. He only trots out this line as the banalizing, the making boring of a sexy evil claim. So when he turns around and the most Christian stuff he'll ever say, Pope Francis, the most unapologetically Catholic stuff, is right after he said something incredible, like the one world government will be good. Then he'll be like, let's just give him a Christian face. Well, you know he doesn't mean it, because the rest of the time he's like, the world shouldn't have a Christian face. The world should have a plural religious face. That's the tell. God bless you all. Day is full.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit.